Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Big C, I just had some things. I don't know what it was. I guess when you're not out of control, things are kind of out of whack, I guess.
I understand.
Somehow I knew you would. Hey, man, you know, got the crew calling, but, I mean, how do you like the archive stuff, man? I've got some Ollie, man, from the first or the second fight of the guard. We got Joe Lewis. We had to come back with Joe. Some Brian Taylor. Really got Brian Taylor from the Net Champ. Got we got Charles Mother of the Year, Black History Wise. So, you know, we got to jam as much as we can. Yesterday, ironically, 27 February, was Dominican Independence Day.
That's right.
Yeah, Dominican Independence Day, yeah. But, so, I guess we must have them on hold. I guess they said, without further ado, Big C, I hand the controls to you.
All right, we're ready.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. Now, I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Solo Channel, Sports and Death of the Show, and without further ado, dear Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father God, we stop and pay homage to you, thanking you, dear Lord, with a prayer for another day, thanking you as Mother said, being clothed in our right mind, saying happy birthday to my Aunt Numi, thanking you, Lord, for blessings undeserved, unaware of, unacknowledged. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Grace, getting what you don't deserve, and mercy is not getting what you do deserve. We ask these blessings in the name of your darling son Jesus, and ask you to give us not what we want, but what we need. And we need your will and way. Bless family and friends here and abroad. And more importantly, let your will always be first and foremost. In the name of your darling son Jesus. Amen. Doc Stanley, dear Lord, opens up with us. John Coltrane with a prayer. We've got the crew lining up. They should be about here right now. Roll call time. Destino, baby Lois. Where are
here.
You?
Here.
There you are, sir. And little Coco, Mel Smith Jr. Okay. Lady A. That should be George Harold Weston Jr.
Should be George,
sir. Harold Weston. Okay, Dusty,
yeah.
In the game, they pulled out tonight?
Yeah, they pulled it out by 5 points, 91-86.
They scored that many points in 12 seconds?
In 12 seconds, what it was, this is what I was telling you, that the big three of the New York Knicks are Billups, of course Carmelo, and of course Amari. They came back super strong with a super defense because that's D'Antonio's philosophy. And I was worried.
D'Antonio's philosophy? The guy's been an offensive coach his whole career.
Well, he's defensive now, and I'm.
Well, I mean, he's going to say defensive, but the guy's whole game has been offense.
Well. Doc, I'm telling you what I know, what I saw today, not what I heard today.
No. Defense is part of the game, but he's definitely not a defensive coach. That was one of the things they talked about him coming here. But this is strange. Now, explain losing to Cleveland and beating Miami.
I don't know where the head was at. Maybe they wanted to throw the Heat off track and lose.
Did you hear that, Rudy?
You know,
hey, Doc, Dusty, panel, a pleasure. Hey, Dust, throw the heat off track, huh?
Hey, no, Dusty, you know what?
Let me tell you something.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, let me tell you something. When a fighter's training for a fight, and they know that there's a scout there to see what he's going to do in the gym and training camp so he can then take that information.
That was one of your faults. Remember, they kept telling you, don't look so good in the gym.
Maybe the Knicks had to lose to Cleveland, make themselves look bad, gave the overconfidence to the Heat, you know, and they got slapped around with defense.
Swept.
Because
that, swept. In fact, one of the few games Cleveland had won before they got into the streak was the Knicks.
Yeah.
And they were glad to see the Knicks come to town.
Yeah. Just,
well, Doc, you have to remember you were just on the
lowly Knicks. I mean, the lowly Cleveland. Why? Because they probably were facing it. They used Cleveland as a practice, I guess, maybe. And they came back here. And like I'm telling you, he must have changed his philosophy or may have learned something because today he was pushing defense. And that's what won the game for the Knicks. Because LeBron had the ball ready for a three. Stoudemire up there rattled his tail. And when he threw the three, it went off the side. And in comes, I think, Williams.
Mm-hmm.
He out-rebounded the guys, and then one of the stupid Heats slapped him, and he went to the free throw. He made the two
Williams
free
clutch today, Dusty. Williams,
yeah.
Doc was very clutch. Free
Doc,
throw,
Stanley,
got
Sports
ice Def water.
Blake,
in the
game. Rainbow Soul Sports Def, the show. You hear him in the background talking about the big victory today won by the New York Knicks, who now have won 2 out of 3 with Carmelo Anthony. Everybody would have thought it had been 3 out of 3 now. Big win tonight,
sure,
over,
yeah,
the Miami Heat, the big three, lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers after winning a big game at MSG against the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, ironically enough, you know, the Bucks, as well as Cleveland, are two teams who have played extremely well against the Knicks this year. And this is, well, you know, Knicks need all the wins they can as they're making this move toward the play. No, I was reading something today, February 25th, 1962, in a game against the Knicks. Wilt Chamberlain scored 67 points. Richie Guerin scored 50. The Knicks won the game. Chamberlain scored 67 points that game. The next game, that was the game he got 100. So in two games, he scored 167 points against the Knicks.
And by the way, Doc, you know that 100-point game with Chamberlain, you know, Dusty, you being a championship boxer, and Doc, you being reporter and scholar, authority par excellence. Let me tell you, I have put thank you. Put me in for that bid as one of the records that'll never be broken.
Well, no, this is the amazing thing about it. The amazing thing about it was, you know, he hardly got any rest because he. It's not, no. Ironically, we never talked about that as much as me and Dipper talked. But he rode the train down to Philly and couldn't sleep because he didn't want to miss his stop. But he scored 167 points. 160 points in two games, and the 100-point game, and then he made 28 free throws that night. That was the year. This is some staggering numbers that you talk about never be broken. That was the year he averaged 50 points a game and 25 rebounds a game.
What a monster.
Wow. Jesus.
What a monster.
50
that
points
was a basketball
a game
machine.
And 25 rebounds, and averaged 48.5 minutes a game. Doc Stanley, Sports Dev on the Blake.
Wow.
Radio Nova, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Dev of the show. We're looking for Howard Weston Jr. joining us. Lady AC be joining pretty soon. And it's a little Mel Smith Kepko. And Dusty, we're going to get back to that thing I told you about earlier, man, because
yeah.
I had, you were talking about that whole contract situation. But what we're doing now is we're going back in the archives, going back to a time past of yesteryear. I got a couple of interviews. I don't think Rooney was with us the other night, but, went back to the archives and came up with a couple of goodies. Hold on now. I'm about to be acting up on me now. Came up with a couple of goodies here. Let me see now. And, okay. We should have. I may have to change his batteries before we get. But we should have some Joe Louis and Joe Frazier, along with Muhammad Ali and Brian Taylor. Will be part of the legendary archives interviews here on Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network. And let's listen to Joe Louis. Talks to Sports in Depth. The immortal Joe Louis talks to the doctor when he was just Mel.
Now against the man that stepped in the ring tonight. Muhammad Ali predicted that Blake would win it. That's it. Welcome, Joe Frazier. Joe Frazier was a monster in there tonight. And he proved it was something else.
The doctor had told me to watch him. The doctor had told me to watch him, you know, and
gentlemen, the voice of the late great Brown Brahma, Joe Louis.
Now, please, I want to when Doc came up with the when the Doc came to watch it real closely, when Frazier asked me to stop it the first time,
he walked away from me.
But I wouldn't stop it though.
Back into the immortal, the man considered the greatest heavyweight champ of all time, the immortal Joe Louis. Which Louis, first of all, you said Joe would ask you to stop the fight the first time, but you allowed to go on.
Right, I did allow to go on because the cut wasn't as big as probably Joe thought it was, but by never half a man, he did cut him pretty good shot because he came out about 2 or 4 inches. So then I stopped him.
So Louis, Joe Frazier was really like a monster that night, didn't he?
Yeah, he looked very good, man. Best shot of him, probably since he became champion.
You said that tonight, Proof was going to Joe Frazier just can't seem to win the big bats.
Well, Joe had that problem, that's all his life, and he's still with him, man. All the big fights he came in.
One more question, you've been refereeing wrestling matches, you said that they are much harder referee than boxing matches.
Well, I think so, because you got to really get in there with the wrestler, hang him on, throw him around, and everything, pull him away. Fighters get him break your picks, much easier.
God bless you, champ. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Death, you talk about being blessed in life, you talk about God keeping his hand on you. How many people can say they talk to the mortal Joe? I remember that. I hugged him, gave him a kiss, asked him for an autograph. I still got it. Doc Stanley, Sports and Death, the referee of the 1974 Jerry Corey Joe Frazier fight, the one and only, the immortal, the late, great Joe Louis.
Well, Doc, I haven't washed my hands since. When I was a kid, he came into Stillman's. And I don't know what he was doing, some public relations work, and he came into Stillman's to say hello to the fellas, man. And I took my gloves off and I shook his hand. And, man, the dude did not have hams. He had yams, man. I'm telling you. My hand was lost in the palm of his right hand. I said, oh, my Lord, I didn't realize this guy's hands were so big.
Yeah,
well, you know something, Dusty, Doc? I got a cute little story for you, absolutely true. You know, I used to do a little boxing back in the day, too. Obviously not on the, you know, level of, you know, you, Dusty, and not on a championship level, but a little boxing. Make a long story short, the late great trainer George Washington, who, as you both know, had so much to do with Mark Breland and most success.
Yeah, Vinny Bo, he said he's a member at my church, the legendary Bridge Street Methodist.
Didn't he also handle Griffith in the amateurs? No? Did he do?
I'm not sure about that one, but I do know about the ball.
But Harold would know when he judges.
Yeah.
And so, make a long story short, gentlemen, I used to always tease him. It turns out, Dusty, Doc, that the great, the legendary George Washington was actually a sparring partner at different times for the great Joe Louis.
Man, look at the size up right here. Washington, a sparring partner. Dusty using shaking Joe's hand as a reason to never take a shower again in life. Wow.
So, Doc, I was an Ali guy. You know, that was my era. So I used to always tease him, fellas, and say, hey, coach, Joe and Ali, little one, coach. And then Dusty and Doc, and then Joe would always say, George Washington would always say, he'd say, Ali the ran, but Joe the quarter, Joe the quarter.
Joe said he can run, but he can't hide.
He can run, but he can't hide.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Death on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports and Death for the show. It's the 27th of February, and having the birthday man near me, one day more left in Black History Month. We continue to salute Black History Month, going back to the archives, some of the legendary figures in the world of sports and great human beings. You just heard Joe Louis. I guess that's the way to start it all. And we're waiting for Harold Weston to join us in Lady A, but if not...
I'm on the air, Doc. You there?
Hello to all guys in the panel.
Hey,
fellas, gentlemen, she's talking to me.
Oh, sorry, Doc.
Okay?
Sorry, Doc.
Your fan club's all here, Lady A.
How you guys doing today?
We had some fights last night. We're going to talk about the Lady A. She's limited time. So let's go real quickly back to a quick interview of yesteryear, and listen to Joe Frazier, who in this fight against Jerry Quarry, amazingly enough, was a 6'5 underdog. Let's listen to Joe. 6-5 underdog against Jerry Corey. I remember that fight, too. June of 1974, Joe had lost earlier that year in January, the other J month, to Ali.
Yeah.
At the second fight.
That was Ali's first comeback, right?
No. That was the second Ali Frazier fight. They did the first one to Garden, and that was the second one that they had done. Here's Joe. You know what? I've got to get some more volume on that. What we're going to do, we're going to talk about last night.
Can I ask a quick question to Dusty while I'm on the air?
Go ahead.
I just want to know what your take was on a fight last night with Rios and Acosta. Was that some fight or what?
This freaking Rio, I'm afraid of him. And he wants to fight Marquez, and I think he'll take Marquez. Rios is unreal.
When he started the fight, I mean, I was watching. I said, okay, he was very strategic about how he fought this guy, because remember, he didn't come into the really start getting into the fight until the fourth or fifth round. Remember
exactly,
that?
Exactly. But Acosta was pounding him. He was a big, strong guy.
Oh my God, he was hitting him with hard shots, Dusty.
For a lightweight, this guy is so freaking big. He looked like a light heavyweight.
Yeah, he did.
But when Rios got to his body, oh, my Lord in heaven. When he got to his body, it just destroyed him.
And the way he was hitting him, you were hearing the cracks, right?
Yeah. You could hear the, oh, man, it was a good fight. It was a good fight.
Interestingly enough, if you watch the 24/7 with Margarito, you saw him training with Margarito when Margarito
was
training.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But Margarito was training for the last fight.
He's under Garcia.
Right.
Bobby Garcia, yeah. And it was a tremendous output, man. But and guess what? He's under Bob Arum. So, he's going to get a shot at a world title, man.
Even in defeat, Costa showed a tremendous amount of heart, man.
Yeah.
He didn't give up easy.
Yeah, and you know what? Even like you saw, like at the end, he got knocked down twice,
mm-hmm.
and in the next round, he was beat unconscious, and at the end,
yeah.
he still was throwing punches that were cracking
exactly.
the guy. I was amazed at this guy.
Remember he said at the interview that from the first knockdown, he was still dizzy. He didn't recover from that.
Right.
But he still showed a lot of heart. He fought back, and, you know. But from the first knockdown, he just couldn't recover from that shot.
Rios is definitely a sharpshooter.
Yeah. He's one of these crazy dudes who walks right into you. You know, I was thinking last night after the fight, I said, man, what would happen between him and Manny Pacquiao?
Oh, yeah.
Fireworks.
And you could tell, all his punches, man, he's amazing, that kid.
Accurate.
Relentless, right? Like, he was getting hit, and he still kept coming forward.
Exactly. Those typical Mexican combinations of body, head, body, liver, stuff. And, man, this guy, as big as he was, he couldn't take those punches, man. I saw him by the third round already wincing. I said, whoa, what's wrong with Acosta, man? He hasn't lost in 9 fights or something like that. Or 3 or 4 years, or 2003.
Right.
And he comes in and he started to get to wince by the third or fourth round. I said, wait a minute. This doesn't make sense.
That's Stanley Sports Network on the Blake. Radio Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Network for the show. Lady A, Little Coco, Mel Smith Jr., Dusty, Destiny Lawrence, waiting for Harold Weston to join us. And Harold was in the midst of some things here. Behind the curtain, Big C. How's things going behind the curtain there, Big C?
Everything looks great back here.
We did our interviews coming through all right. Good sound there. You know, Joe Lewis came so nice and clear, and I thought so much about you, Ronnie, when he talked about it's just amazing. You know, the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered, and I know, you know, I am what I am, say only because he has his hand on me. But it's amazing that I would ask that question about the difficulty in refereeing wrestling matches as opposed to fight. And, you know, Joe simply said, you know, you tell fighters to break, they break. But, you know, Rooney, you know, the guys with without the mask, they don't break that easy, do they?
No, not only that, Doc. I mean, let me tell you something about the mask, just to step aside for a second. I gotta be honest, experimenting with the mask. You know, running a mask is a pain in the butt, Doc. Folks don't think about it. Damn thing slides around all the damn time. So it's half falling off. You're sweating like hell under there. Wearing a hood is a pain in the butt.
Oh, no.
Working and the lights are bright. you're naturally sweating profusely to begin with. Now, working under the hood takes a different type of guy. It does. My hat's off to all the Rey Mysterio types and the luchadors.
I worry about you, Rooney. This is not something you do on the side, right, without anybody knowing about it, right?
Hey, well, Lady A, that's the reason I went into journalism. Because I said, you know, I'm a decent-looking guy. Getting kicked in the head by those big boots is not something I desire to do for too much longer. I mean, we once had the great Bruno Sammartino, and he had a real-life feud with a great bad guy, great villain called Superstar Billy Graham.
Mm-hmm.
And
Billy
the thing
Graham.
That used to upset Bruno so much was, you know, Bruno was a superstar with body slam Bruno or something like that, and kick him right in the head. And it just upset Bruno to no end because he would always do that. As soon as he went down, Superstar just kicked him right in the head. And they just had the greatest of feuds.
And once again, as you say, this was a kick in the head. This wasn't no ploy or no prop.
Well, you know something, Doc? The thing that people have to understand, and Lady A will, you know, I guess seen her, she and my, you know, the thing about wrestling, Doc, that folks don't understand is, you know, obviously it's a show business element to it, and obviously this is entertainment. But it's a very rough entertainment, and 50% of what you see truly hurts more than
you Rooney,
ever
Rooney,
know.
You said it is. Hey, Lady A, I like his line. It's rough entertainment. It's rough entertainment. Doc said, you know what? I've been getting these emails from. I'm gonna read this to you guys because I keep getting these emails from big. Let me see where it's from. Big Buzz Media. Jorge Masonet. Anybody heard of him?
Jorge Masonet. Wasn't he the brother Johnny Masonet?
Jorge Masonet says undefeated scores and presence says victory on Friday night at the Palm Bay Center in Palm Bay, Florida. Rising lightweight star Jorge Catino Masonet Jr., 2-0 with 1 KO, notched his second professional victory by scoring a 4-round unanimous decision over previously undefeated Frank Head Sandy. Have you heard him, Dusty? 20-0 Masonet.
Yeah, but I think it was related to Johnny Masonet, who trained Che Guevara Torres.
Okay, Masonet
is
tall, lightweight.
He's
a tall, lightweight, and he's co-managed by Gary Shaw. Gary Shaw. Okay, Mason is a former member of the Puerto Rican national boxing team and was a highly decorated amateur. He is the son, already, Dusty, former world title challenger Jorge Luis Masonet.
Jorge Luis, and so then. Isn't he the brother of the other?
I imagine. He said he has all the tools to someday be champion, experience fights like this against good opposition or what will help him get there at a Copa Mosa or Leon Magnez. You know, this is good that we mentioned it. I go through some other notes so y'all can hear these so we can send these people a copy of the show. But Masonet stays undefeated, scores impressive victory. I get a hold of these. I'm thinking, though, with Big C behind the camera, I can look at some of these things, too. Listen, let's take a look. Listen to Joe Frazier. Come back to some more boxing and stuff. Joe Frazier, 6'5 underdog in the summer of 1974 against Jerry Quarry. Didn't work out that way. Joe, after losing that January to Muhammad Ali, came back and won big time at the Temple of Boxing.
Oh,
Don Kinnock called it.
Yes, right. This was after the first Muhammad Ali thing.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
I'm doing the same thing. I'm doing the same amount of work. And many people here, I've never seen them in a little more worse because they had children like 16 to 12, 13 miles a day, and you know, the morning, the same amount of 1 mile every day. So therefore, this guy was competing with me. And I had a man who was presenting on me. I was there, the public body was on me. And a lot of guys, who said I was dead and I was serious, and who said I wasn't sacrificing anymore, but I bought a rose and I got 8 cars and things like that. But it seems like I can't sacrifice. Now, I'm a first world, and I came from the book. What I mean is that I never knew before I enjoyed Rose, so I don't know anybody gave me nothing. And I knew early to work from his home. He goes to his family every day, and he spent his time and his next time to get them together, and he's going to sign with them.
You know, if you were Jerry, would you call it a career now, and what
happened? Well, I can't speak for Jerry, because, like I say, you know, all the bad things that the people, friends, you know, that Jerry said about me, I can't find this man bad. You know, every time I see him, you always have a room. We always chat about, let's say, the family and the tacos or something in Germany. So, therefore, I can't say Jerry should quit. I think Jerry should be whatever getting him off.
Joe Frazier, and so it's an amazing thing to ask him should Jerry Corey quit. It's amazing. They had Corey winning that fight, and then he loses the fight, and all of a sudden, they're talking about quit. Part of the archives, the legendary archives of Sports In Depth, going back and talking to Joe Louis and Joe Frazier. We will continue with some more. We have some Muhammad Ali for you and Brian Taylor from the then world champion New York Nets, who are now the New Jersey Nets. Doc Stanley, Sports In Depth, Blake Radio, Rainbow Soul, and Lady A. Did you have something else to say?
Well, you know, it's just funny. I know earlier, I mean, I just happened to catch a little bit before I signed in. You guys were talking about the size of the hands of some of these guys. Have any of you guys ever gone to the Boxing Hall of Fame and seen the casting of some of these guys and the hands? I mean, I couldn't even believe. Like, you mentioned Joe Louis. They have his cast up there. And I was like, oh, my God. Can you imagine getting hit by a fist that big?
Well, you know what's the funny thing about it, though? You know, some guys, you know, no matter how big their hands are, can't punch. Some
right.
guys,
yeah,
I mean, because
amazing.
Thing, yeah, that was the
thing. But just
that,
a combination,
that,
Doc, like both, like having a fist that big and having it. Listen.
Well, you know, I guess Foreman's one of those guys that can hit. I remember Emmanuel Stewart saying how Breland. I remember Harold Weston was telling me, you know, when Keelan, and the voice you heard during that Joe Frazier interview, the guy who was answering the questions from the media, and that's the late, great John Francis Xavier Condon, the voice of the Knicks. Welcome to the Magic World of Madison Square Garden. He was president of boxing, and he was the head PR man, the greatest boxing PR man of all time, and what a great human being. And you talk about, Emmanuel talked about, it was, in fact, Harold would say, you know, that Mark Breland, at a 12-year-old, hit so hard that parents and officials were questioning, was he really 12 years old? I mean, they said he was knocking out the other kids. And they you know, and they said Tyson, when they saw Tyson, they didn't believe he was the age he was. They wouldn't even let him kid gloves. They wouldn't even let Mike Tyson, because they didn't believe he was the age he was. And you look at boxing, Dustin, you Ray Robinson, Bob Foster, Mark Breland, Tommy Hearns. Then wiry guys, man, who just, when they hit you, they put you to sleep. You talk about hands. Julius Erving, who, once again, we said happy birthday to this past week. When I was out at the house, my son, Melvin Jr., had just been born, and Julius had Little Mel. That's what his godmother took, her nickname, Little Mel. So it's called Little Mel. Had Little Mel in his hand. And Lady A, Rooney, Dusty, I thought Julius was talking to his hands. I said, no, he's make believing like he's holding the baby. Yeah, it's a good thing you look like your mother. But I said, he's talking to you. I said, what? And then I got closer. He had my son in his hands.
Oh,
I couldn't
my God.
Think. I mean,
well, let me tell you, Doc, you know, you make me laugh because you brought in basketball. I was just going to tell you that if you look at Amari Stoudemire's hands, they're hams. I mean, he had his hand, he palmed with the basketball, And without exaggeration, it looked like he had half the ball in his hand.
Well, see, that's the thing they said about Julius. That Julius made a basketball look like a golf ball.
Oh, my
ball.
God.
You know what I mean?
I tell you, have bigger hands than all of them, Doc and panel.
Who's
my
that?
My dad went to school with the great Connie Hawkins.
Yeah, Hawk was
Connie
another
Hawkins.
One. Another
wow,
one with huge
man.
Hands. I mean, you know, they once you know once they went toward the basket, they tell the story about Hawk. Man, Hawk used to have a little, and this is in high school, where during the warm ups for boys high, the legendary
right.
boys high, they would dunk, and then the coach or one of the coach would come out and put two basketballs at the top of the key, and from the other end of the court would come Connie Hawkins. He'd grab the two basketballs,
right.
take off from the foul line, and dunk them.
Wow.
And that would be the time some guys, other teams say, you know, coach, I'm really a football player. I got to go.
Hey, Don, speaking of other sports, you know, I remember on one of our last segments, you asked the great Howard Weston, who I believe you said is coming up relatively soon, we hope.
Yeah, he should be
if he would ever... If he would ever fight a wrestler, him being a boxing champion.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I want you to tell you that the conventional wisdom among us wrestlers is that the boxer absolutely positively has the advantage as long as we're both in a standing position because of his ability to either dock you out with one punch or some combination thereof. However, it's also the conventional wisdom that once we take him off his feet, into a big full Nelson, half Nelson chicken wing on him is kitty by the door. Pretty quickly.
Oh, boy.
Chicken wing. Oh, my God. He's going to fall back on me.
Bob Backlund's favorite move, Lady A, the chicken wing.
Oh, my God.
And the words of...
You were a Chief Strongbow fan, weren't you?
Huge. How'd you know? Huge Chief J Strongbow fan. How'd you know? Huge. I saw many performances of the Chief at Madison Square Garden.
You know, the great line from Chino, the retired detective out of the New York City Police Department, one of his classic lines was, "Ain't no thing but a chicken wing."
But like a chicken wing, huh?
Yeah. Ain't no thing.
Getting back to boxing, you talk about hands. The most feminine, and I'm not making fun of him, the most feminine hands that I've ever shook of a boxer was none other. I don't know if you guys experienced it, Floyd Mayweather.
Really?
I remember,
that around the time that he was getting treatments? Because I know he was going to be getting those keratin treatments because his hands
were... Yeah, that was about the time he was getting treatment, but when he fought Carlos Baldomir, the Argentine full of brush band, whatever he was.
Right, right. No, he's Argentine.
I shook his hands. I said, man, this guy got some hands. So then I interviewed Floyd, and I sat there, and he reached out for me, and I saw nothing but, with all the respect to him, the smallest, softest little paws. I said, damn.
Well, you know, he's one of the few guys that's been able to be successful with bad hands. You know, Ali, and I was talking to him, Ali went through an 8-year period, man, where he didn't even hit the heavy bag. When
he was his
hands, didn't hit the heavy. And then there's the great line that I'll never forget. And I was talking with somebody yesterday. We were talking about the foreman, Al Vasconi. Let's look at Al that joined us. And, Leroy Neiman. And, as I look back, I just thank God for all the zillions of blessings that he's put upon me. And I remember Leroy talked about being in the dressing room when Ali had just beat Kenny Norton. And... Mm. He's sitting there soaking his hands in a bucket of ice. And then comes Foreman, as you know, because these fighters, they're always at each other's fights. And Foreman comes into the dressing room, and Leroy said that Foreman was standing over Ali as he was sitting there soaking his hands. And Ali just simply looked up over, looked up at him and said, "Don't ever fight me because I'll knock you out." Seriously, real quickly, another press note here. Oscar De La Hoya, Olympic gold medalist and former 10-time world boxing champion, to visit troops on U.S. tour to Middle East. Joining the sport's most decorated ambassador for the week-long adventure will be boxing up-and-coming stars Adrian Broner, Danny Jacobs, and Seth Mitchell. Your U.S. tour featuring boxing stars and sports ambassador Oscar De La Hoya, up-and-coming professional fighters Adrian Broner, Danny Jacobs, and Seth Mitchell. They're going to the Middle East, getting up for his first USO Armed Force Entertainment Tour. Is one of boxing's most decorated stars. Let me go, Melson, former 10-time world champion and 6-weight classes, Oscar De La Hoya.
Oh, wow.
De La Hoya, President Golden Boy Promotion, will be joined on the week-long USA tour by Golden Boy Promotion's fighters, undefeated lightweight Adrian Bonner out of Cincinnati, Ohio, heralded middleweight Danny Jacobs right out of Brooklyn, New York, and undefeated heavyweight Seth Mitchell out of Brandywine, Maryland. On a mission to boost troops' morale, the group will participate in boxing clinics, share techniques, and extend their thanks to American troops serving in the Middle East. This year, the USO has celebrated 70 years of service to the troops on their and their families. So Oscar is en route. He's going to be doing that. He'll be leaving this winter of 2011, going to the Middle East. Due to security reasons, the countries and tour dates cannot be released at this time.
Yeah, but I was going to say that because I know the situation is very volatile out there right now.
Well,
head out there.
And there's Dusty. Win. but, yeah.
Are they going to exhibition sparring?
It says that the...
Dusty, you acting like you're going to go out there. You're going to be out there.
Dusty, can I go? Can I go, please?
Okay, Dusty. You know how many countries out there now are going to sit on that?
Lady A, Doc, send me, please.
Yeah.
Send me.
Yeah, right?
Well, the group will participate in boxing clinics, share techniques, and extend their thanks to American troops serving in the Middle East. Once again, that will be this forthcoming winter. And, you know, I was at the measure of Oscar, great fighter. I think Oscar was one of the few great fighters. I think he was great. Roy Jones Jr. was great.
Oh, yeah,
And that's where I stopped. You know, Oscar beat everybody.
What about Tyson? You had mentioned Tyson.
Tyson is a past era. Tyson is not of that era.
Oh, you're talking about current?
I'm talking current. I'm not talking Tyson. I'm talking about this era guys.
Right.
Those are the only two guys in my estimation.
Well, let me ask you something, Doc. Since you mentioned his name, where do you put him in your all-time list of heavyweights?
Rooney, how many times have I told you this? Do you like to hear this? I mean, I know you're a
big
guy.
Mike
Tyson's in the top 10. Marion Boykin. Marion B. Boykin, black, bodacious, brilliant, and a brother. He always said, you know, Mike Tyson could hold his own against anybody. You know, I see few guys beating Mike Tyson. You know, when Mike was on his game, people forget. And we said this, and Rooney, and I'm teaching because I always love for you to do that. And you know, people never talk about the 3 years that Mike Tyson lost. They always, one thing about Ali, they talk about the 4 years, but you never, nobody ever says, you know, Mike lost 3 years. Not only did he lose three years, but also, just like Panama Lewis, has always maintained his innocence. So, I mean, here's the guy, and then was put in a situation where he couldn't practice his craft. It's but Mike Tyson's in my top 10. I mean, okay, Ali's number one, no question about it. I mean, Joe Louis is in there.
Sugar Ray Robinson. Oh, he's up there too.
No, heavyweights.
Oh, not heavyweights. Okay, heavyweights.
Yeah. I mean, okay. You know, so I've got Ali, I've got Joe Frazier, I got Joe Louis, I got Larry Holmes, Tyson. And then, bomb, you got to stop a little while. I mean, Ezra Charles, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've never thought that much of Rocky Marciano. I've never thought that much of Rocky. Okay, you got to put
a
band in.
He was a novelty, Doc. He came in at the right time.
Well, also, I mean, but see, the thing that about Rocky and the thing about Evander, great champions, but they fought guys. Everybody they fought was past their prime.
Yeah. Well, but this is what I'm saying, that here you got an aging relic like Archie Moore drops Marciano.
Mm-hmm.
And he had Marciano cut and gasping for air and all that. And then he went to throw, and I remember the fight lap because I'm saying, my God, his hand, let me start over. Mm-hmm. Archie Moore dropped him, but... Mm-hmm. It was also Arnold Cream, Jersey Joe Walcott.
Jersey Walcott,
He hit him with a left hook and put him in La La Land.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, he's strong. He got up. And then he was leaning up against the rope, Joe Walcott, and he was going to throw his right hand, and his hand got stuck on the rope. And that's when Susie Q, Marciano's right hand, caught him clean and knocked him out.
Wow. You know, it's amazing that, you know, Dusty, you always bring – this is, you know what – listeners, wherever you be, where it be New York City, Chicago, Brazil, Panama, Cuba. This is why Sports in Depth is where it is for the likes of the people who make this show, surrounded by an impeccable crew. And this kind of thing, you know, Dusty, there's so many people who have never knew that. I mean, and you talk about situations.
Yeah.
Archie Moore talks about how the referee, when he had Marciano hurt, gave Marciano standing eight count when he should have, which allowed Marciano to clear his
there
head.
There was a lot of question on that, but of course he had Al Wilde, like I told you this afternoon, Al Wilde, the well-connected lawyer who was his manager, and he had a lot of control. And but that should have been a one sided thing, but you talk about great heavyweights. No, I didn't put him in that category. He just happened to come at the wrong time. He fought a guy named Don Cockell. Remember Don Cockell from England?
Mm-hmm.
The guy was killing everybody in England. He came here. He lasted three rounds with Marciano. That was it. And you never heard about him since.
And you know something, Dusty, that very few people know.
He fought Harry Kid Matthews, the great light heavyweight who wants to fight heavyweight. I think Harry Kid Matthews lasted one round.
Who
these were all Marciano's opponents, man. The biggest fight was with Ezra Charles. Charles ripped his nose and had him going.
We're talking about great fighters when we talk about Charles and them.
There's some who said they think Andy Charles was the greatest light heavyweight of all time. But, gentlemen, let's take a quick break. Rooney, give me that combo. When we come back, I'm going to play a tape from the guy that I think is the greatest of them all. Okay. Big C, as they would say in Hollywood, let it roll.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Can I hear that lady one time, Big C? Is it possible?
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
Behind the curtain, baby, but always ever present. Big C, CC, Charlie, behind there doing an impeccable job helping Sports in Depth on Rainbow Soul reach heights
in parallel.
Thank you. You're more than welcome, Big C. This is Fight 2, Madison Square Garden, after the $2.5 million fight, biggest event in the history of boxing, maybe the biggest event in the history of mankind, but they're doing it again. It's January of 1974. I remember the date as possible. I was on the back page of Daily News. I got to get a copy of that. My dad had passed away earlier. Ali, press conference in the old Hall of Fame Club, and let's listen to the man pound for pound, I think the greatest of all time, and I think Ali's the greatest of all time because he also fought the greatest fighters of all time. There's been some talk about certain guys that Ali ducked nobody, fought everybody, and beat everybody. Former Louisville Lip, Olympic gold medal winner, Cassius Marcellus Clay, a.k.a. the one and only, ladies and gentlemen, Muhammad Ali. On Sports in Depth, going back to the archives, Big C, I'm going to roll it.
You can't run. You can't run. Watch your prediction this time. Court my prediction. I predict this time that when I come in LA at 210 pounds, beating Joe Frazier, I'll be dancing more than this for 10 months. And about 10 months, I shock the whole world. I dance 8 foot rounds, and down to three, I dance half of them. Last time, I dance the whole round. I told you last time, my legs were straight. I don't coach there, I kept talking about Muhammad's not the same fella he was 10 years ago. And I like to say this from the staff of the world. To Howard Coach's wife, thank you for saying that. I'm gonna be dancing. There'll be no more.
The first ever Potemkin Award, Howard Cosell was there. And rightly, you know, you look back at life, how things happen. Once again, all great and wonderful things come from God, and there's really no way to put into words out of a mouth like mine to profess gratitude or describe God. And I was, Julius was at a dinner award, and me and my wife at that time, we were out of the house, took the train out there. And this is the kind of guy, Julius, said, well, Mel, why don't you take the car? I said, Julius, your car is a vet. He said, I know, take the car, Mel. And I drove it home, so I drove back with him, and he said, hey, stay, have something to eat. And we sat with Cosell's wife at the Potemkin Award. Howard was there, and I had a couple of things we could autograph by Ali. I had a bag full of stuff, and I gave about four or five, and I started to walk away. I think I told the story before, and he said, well, where you going? I said, champ, I got it. You can't believe it. Give everything to me, you know. And I've said this, I'll say this, here, and if Muhammad Ali has time for autographs, pictures, fans, and photos, then every other athlete in the world has African-American, non-African-American. Muhammad Ali is number one, and everybody else is a distant second, be it Michael Jordan, you know, be it Kobe Bryant, be it Roy Jones Jr., be it Hank Aaron, Williams, everybody else is the distant second, with the exception of Jackie Robinson and Jim Brown and probably Willie, but you know, and you just can't put into it the great line that the former boxing writer here in New York City, Michael Katz, once said, Muhammad Ali treats the guy at the high school newspaper the same way he treats the guy. I remember he came in and I was the first guy over to him, and right away he started talking, boom, boom, boom. I'm with Johnson Malkins, and he killed me. He said, he's Joe's over. He said, if you want me to, I'll go over and get him right now. We're going to talk to Brian Taylor in a minute. Let's continue talking boxing. What's on the mind? The panel here is the next to last day of Black History Month. We're back in the archives. We gave you Joe Louis, longest man to reign the heavyweight champion in the world, 13 years, 1937 to 1949. Joe Frazier, one of the greatest fighters in the history of boxing and one of the great boxing champions of all time. And we also listened to the man considered the greatest, first man to win heavyweight championship three times, and Olympic gold medal winner, the one and only, Muhammad Ali. We're going to talk to Brian Taylor in a moment, too, go back to the archives. But go ahead.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. I know you guys were talking earlier about referees and judges or what have you. Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
De La Hoya, Trinidad, who won that fight? Doc?
Hey. It's no... Oscar won that fight. Won the fight going away. Won the fight going away. And you
Destino,
know,
Destino, what you think?
He got punished for becoming a ballet dancer in the last four rounds.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he lost it. But he did. He gave Oscar. He gave Tito Trinidad a boxing lesson for five, six rounds.
Okay, go back.
He even blurred his nose.
Did you hear what Dusty said? Dusty said the last four rounds. So this is the way I surmise this. If you win eight of the first four rounds, how do you lose a fight if you lose just four rounds? I mean, Dusty just solidify. And the thing about that, Dusty, you know what's funny? You're telling me, Doc, keep boxing. I mean, I remember when Billy Kahn was beating Joe Louis, boxing all over the place. Boom, 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 bam, 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 boom, boom, boom. Went out there to fight Joe, bam, got knocked out. Everybody said, dang, stupid, you should have kept boxing. But now, it's Oscar De La Hoya, it's a minority, and you're calling him stupid.
No,
you call him stupid, not get knocked out.
Stupid because of the fact that in a fight that close, because they made it close even though he was outboxing Trinidad and bloodied his nose and his lips were puffed, all of a sudden he became a ballet dancer. And that, and he said, he, and remember my first word out of my mouth was he was punished for running around the last four rounds.
Yeah,
but that was because his corner told him that, to steal.
Well, yeah, but no, his bottom line is he won the fight. I mean, Dusty, you said it. You said it before. He won eight rounds. If you win eight rounds and the other guy lose four rounds, you win the fight. Hold on now.
He's
okay,
right,
Rudy.
I think he's in a fight.
He had won, in my opinion, at least six of the first rounds. I said six.
Okay, but Dusty, all right, you know, if we give him six, if he loses six, it's a draw. At least he don't lose the fight, Dusty.
But, man, you don't understand what I'm saying. He got punished for dancing.
Dusty, I hear you clearly. But to understand what you say is one thing. To validate it is another. I understand what you say, but I'm saying that's bullshit. If Billy Kahn, if you tell Billy Kahn, keep boxing, keep running, you win in the fight, then you say you're stupid for getting knocked out. Why are you telling Oscar De La Hoya that you're stupid for winning eight rounds and then not getting knocked out?
I gave him the six rounds clean.
You said
the
other
one.
You see, guys, you know I'm bringing that up because, you know, I think, like, a lot of people in watching boxing now, you know, it's very difficult. Okay, let's take, for example, the fight last night.
Hold on, lady. Rudy, who you thought won the fight?
Dog, I got to go with Dusty. I gave Oscar, like, the first half, and then the guy took... But I just told Dr. what he said.
Rudy, who did you have winning the fight?
Well, early on, I had Oscar win it, but of a fight that...
Who did you have... Who did you have winning the fight?
Well, he's going to go point-wise. Oscar probably won.
Okay, and then the conversation.
But, lady A, that's it, Rudy.
You got to
understand the power of it.
Lady A, continue.
Well, my question was just like, because nowadays, I'm just going by, sometimes you never know what the judges are really looking
at.
Like, for example, like, look at the first fight last night. The guy? They were both
Sanchez
off, and DeCamp, what's his name? DeCamp, I think it was?
Yeah,
okay,
now
this kid, I believe also he had never fought in the U.S., am I right? Because he was from Mexico?
Exactly, right.
So he goes in there, now the crowd was upset at the end, and Steve Ford was like, this kid came in, okay, was hitting him with punches that really weren't doing anything,
right.
And he showed ring generalship, he showed that he could stay in the fight. I think even at the latter half of the fight, he changed the complexity of the fight toward the end,
right.
So mm-hmm. Now it's like, what are judges really looking for?
Right.
You understand? So
exactly.
I think that sometimes at the end the crowd sounded like they were really pissed off.
So how the heck could this guy won when Sanchez
was
coming forward and throwing? But if you remember the commentators, they were saying, "Well, he's throwing punches, but he's winging them and he's missing."
Right, and they don't have any effect on
exactly
on him.
Exactly.
So the reason why I'm bringing it up, guys, is just because you know somebody had said something to me earlier today, which kind of had me thinking like, what direction is boxing going? What exactly is it that dictates, really, what the judges are really looking at? Now, I don't know if you guys have really stopped and thought about that, but, you know, in MMA, these guys fight. They either get knocked out, okay, and sometimes the things don't even go to decision. People are paying $60 for fights, right? They'll fight, like, for the fights. They're getting six or seven good fights, okay?
Right.
And guess what? You know what? And it's quality viewing, you know, as far as they go. And, you know, with boxing, sometimes the undercards aren't even bringing any attention.
Well,
guys
well,
just staying there waiting for the major fight.
Yeah, it's the same that you got to understand. You asked the question about how do they judge. Let's go back to Pascal and Bernard Hopkins.
Right.
To me, Bernard Hopkins won the fight, but his deficit was the fact that he got knocked down three times fighting this homeboy. Now, the proof of the pudding, in my opinion, that Bernard won the fight is when they called it a draw to keep the homeboy with his title. But now he's going to fight him in May, mandatory. So we'll see what Bernard is going to do now. You see?
Right.
You know, but what I'm saying to you, what I'm trying to explain to you, Doc, is the fact that I looked at Oscar in for the first five, six rounds, he slapped the crap out of him. Now, down past the six or seven, Steve got a little closer, and then instead of Oscar wiping him out, he started dancing, man. and that behavior, and Tito, and Tito was scoring some points in the last four rounds. And this is why, like, and remember I said he was punished for running around the fourth round. I mean,
let me make this point.
So I don't know if you guys think I'm asking a good question here, but, you know, what exactly, as far as the judging goes, what exactly is it that they're looking at now? Because
because speaking of Oscar, in my opinion, beat Shane Mosley the second time around.
But he lost.
But they gave it to Shane Mosley.
Right.
Shane Mosley was lost. Oscar was slapping the crap out of him. I mean, pity-patty punches, but they were scoring punches. Shane was doing was throwing hard punches. If he threw five and connected two, there were oohs and ahs, but they were not oozing and ahsing when Oscar was slapping him, jabbing him, out-jabbing him. His own father, Shane Mosley's own father, was saying, "Man, what's wrong, man? You're not even using your jab. I don't care what you do, but go out there, hit him in the elbows, hit him in the neck, hit him anyway, but throw punches because you're not throwing and you're losing." You know?
Right.
I said, you know, it's true. So now when the decision comes in, Shane Mosley pulls it out.
I said,
what the hell are these people looking at, man?
Right, right. I just wanted to throw it out there to the panel.
Let me say this, Lady Ann Dusty, okay? My thing is I kind of agree with what Dusty was saying earlier about the Oscar fight previously in regard to this with Tito, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, he might have been winning that fight indeed, you know, on points and stuff. But I'm with Dusty in the fact that if a guy's going to go into, like, total retreat for three or four straight rounds, they're going to penalize him for it. There's no question about it. Guys are going to total retreat for three
or
four rounds.
Okay, guys, how about this? How about Jermaine Taylor Hopkins, 1-2?
Oh. Hopkins blew. He could have beaten him in the first round. He had him hurt. He had him staggered. But he started his chicken and jiving, his Philadelphia shuffle, and you know, and then you got to understand, Lady A, also the politics involved. What's her name? Lou DiBella was Jermaine's manager at that time,
promoter.
One. Number
right?
two, Hopkins had sued him for some bogus crap in court, and he lost.
Oh, you talking about DiBella?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about bogus. I'll say this on that. You know, if there's a situation where there's a disagreement between Lou DiBella and Bernard Hopkins, I'm going with Lou DiBella. I remember the tears streaming down Lou DiBella's face at Madison Square Garden when Trinidad, for all intents and purposes, was going to roll roughside over Bernard Hopkins. In fact, that's the first time I saw a fighter with the ad on his back. You know,
that was in 2001. That fight, right?
Correct. Right, 2001. Yeah, because the fight was originally canceled because of 9/11.
Right, because of 9/11. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
9/11.
Yeah.
Lou DiBella did everything possible backwards for this guy, and if there was a situation where they parted, I'm with Lou DiBella. Okay, it's just that simple. The great Howie Evans, the legendary Howie Evans of the most renowned African-American newspaper in this city and one in the world, the Amsterdam, said, you know, he remember Bernard Hopkins came to him, Jamie Harris told this story, came to him and asked Howie to manage him, and he had four contracts signed by four different people.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
So, you know, it's, you know, Bernard, great champion, one of the great fighters of this era. Always been great to me, per se, but when it comes down to who's the better individual, when it comes to who I'm siding with, when it comes down to credibility and character, it's Lou DiBella.
Exactly.
DiBella.
This is what I'm telling you. And because of that lawsuit, that Hopkins lost to DiBella, there was a lot of politics involved.
Well, but Dusty,
and a lot
look
of
at that
anger.
Fight, Dusty. And Dusty, you know the game. So, listen, Hopkins sat there the first four or five rounds like he was Tommy Hearns or Ernie
there
Shaver.
There you go.
You know,
absolutely.
He gave away the first four or five rounds. Then he's going to come. He fought a different Bernard Hopkins type fight, but he gave away the first. I mean, I was thinking to a certain degree, maybe somebody paid him to give the fight up. But you saw that fight. You were there too, Rooney. I got to try to get Howard Weston with us. Behind the curtain, we've got a good half hour left for Big C.
Exactly. Right out of the money.
Okay, Big C. Hey, listen, everybody say hello to Big C.
Mr. Big C.
Lady A.
Big C.
Greetings, panel.
Pardon
Lady
me.
A. Okay. Okay. So, I mean, continue it. I'm going to go get some of Brian Taylor to join us. Got to watch Dusty because the next thing you know will be the Latin Odyssey with guest host Doc Stanley and his Latin panel. I'll come back. Everybody be speaking Spanish. You know what I mean?
What do
you
want?
Yeah. I mean, even Rooney. You know, Rooney. Hey, Rooney said, you know what? Rooney put the mask on and starts talking another language.
Hey, the luchadors rule.
Me and Vox got out number two.
Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake. Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, Channel Sports Network, the show. All right, got it one more time. Big C, need you to do our iTunes plug for me now. In another 2 minutes, do it again. Tell the world how they can listen to Rainbow Soul, Blake Radio, by iTunes, and catch Sports and Depth live with the crew. Now, behind the curtain, step out, put the mic on. Ladies and gentlemen, Big CC, iPod history.
Evening, everyone. All right. To join us on our free iPod, on our free podcast, just log on to BlakeRadio.com, follow the link to Rainbow Soul, and before you know it, it's going to lead you to a little purple icon where you can download this this podcast for free through iTunes.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
Also, on your mobile phones, you can log on to, you can download the Stitcher app. That's STITCHER, Stitcher app, and it works on your BlackBerry, on your Palm, on your Android phone, and on your iPhone.
Wow.
You can take
man.
Us on the road.
Amazing.
That's right. Yeah.
Just sit on there the train,
go.
Listen to everything. Yeah.
Guys,
everything.
I'm gonna sign off. I got to get up early tomorrow. So, interesting panel today this weekend.
Lady A.
Always. Great questions. Great questions.
Yeah. Hold on.
Right.
Yeah. Hold on. Mike. Hey, join us on the panel, man.
Okay, Lady A.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Lady A, you leaving?
Yeah.
Everybody, don't ask no questions. Just simply say congratulations. Lady A, everybody.
Congratulations.
All right, congratulations.
Thank you, everybody.
Okay.
All right, have a good night. Oh, good morning, I should say. All right,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, join us on the panel, man. You can drive and talk, can't you?
Hey, you know, Dusty, by the way, that when Muhammad Ali went overseas to Japan, and that mixed contest against Antonio Inoki, you know that. Believe I'm trying to remember. Was it the Duvas? Was it Lou Duva who actually went over as the support?
Big C, be on the lookout. Mike Bellamy is going to join us. So be on the lookout for Mike Bellamy joining us. Okay.
You got it.
And
you
I know that Freddie Blassie was in Muhammad Ali's corner. A lot of people don't know that. Classy
right.
Freddie Blassie had went over in Muhammad Ali's corner against Antonio Inoki.
Really?
Wow,
I forgot that. By the way,
Fred was such a great villain, such a great bad guy villain who took his job as a villain very seriously. He holds a record of being attacked. I think I said this to you and Doc on a previous show.
Rooney? This is like the 18th time you told us this.
He holds the record in our business of being attacked by fans, which is 28 times he's been attacked.
Yeah, well, this, and also, does Rooney, this is the 28th time you told us this, incidentally.
Well.
No, Rooney.
Hey, Doc, you can never speak of Fred too much. What is the place, I'll tell you.
You're
speak too much of Fred.
Well, I love you guys. Man, there's not a better place to be on a Sunday night with this crew. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth. Mike Bellamy should be joining us. Be a lookout for him, Big C.
I'm here.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the man who had the greatest radio show, the Bellamy Boxing Report, the man that B-Cats for. Incidentally, gentlemen, I want to say congratulations. He's up for Emmy, Michael Bellamy. Everybody, say congratulations to Mike. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
No,
better still. Everybody, let's have a hand clap. Come on. Clap those hands.
Yeah.
All
right,
here we go.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mike, you join us here. We're talking boxing. Mike, real quickly, quick question: the Trinidad and De La Hoya fight. Who did you have winning that fight?
I was going with Trinidad.
Mhm. Okay. We're talking. Well, you here? We got to talk boxing. One of the questions that we're going to ask you. And hold on just a second here. Are we going to see Pacquiao and Mayweather?
What do you think? I can hear you. What do you say?
Are we going to see Pacquiao and Mayweather this year?
I don't think we're going to see it at all.
Wow.
I predicted that, yeah.
Well, if you read some of the blogs by the Mayweather people,
mm-hmm.
Roger, Mayweather Sr., and Mayweather Jr.,
mm-hmm.
they said they're ready to go, and they don't know why Pacquiao is still hiding. really. These are their quotes.
Mm-hmm.
I sent you that by email, Doc.
Yeah.
And they don't know.
Most of your emails, when I see them, I usually delete them, you know.
Yeah, selling out the Wolf tickets, and Freddie Roach is a bum. He don't know what he's doing, this, that, and the other. I'm saying, but they're not saying we are going to fight. They said, well, I want all this to get over, to be cleared up, so I can hurry up and fight him. I don't think this year this is going to happen, because one thing for sure, Floyd, from all the other blogs and all that, is not doing anything.
You're validating what Mike is saying. It's a fight that's not going to happen. Now, but let's go the other way now, Mike, because we got a mic here. He's driving. Okay, Pacquiao has signed you weren't there, Dusty, but Aram told me at the press conference that him and King had, that Pacquiao signed it two more fights, so he's going to do four. So now he's going to do six. So now, Mike, is there a possibility we could have, and you know, it's funny, because you were there, Mike, When Sergio said Pacquiao was too small, if he fought anybody, the possibility would be Mayweather. Now, at the last thing we were at, he was said that both Mayweather and Pacquiao are wide open to him. So now, you think Pacquiao could look to fight Martinez, Mike?
Fight Martinez?
Yeah.
I'd like to see. So I don't think that'll happen. I would like to see him fight Mayweather.
Yeah.
It's ironically, because that's the guy he said that he would fight, and Dusty, you said that Pacquiao can't keep going up and down like that.
He can't keep going up and down. He took a big chance with Margarito,
mm-hmm.
and people don't know that he got hurt, even though he walked all over Margarito. You could punch a guy to death, and he could hit you with one punch. You'll survive, but the after effects
In fact, I was with you. I was with you on a Sunday. ABC, that's when TV did it free. Yaki Lopez, who beat Mike Rosman, who took Lopez as a tune-up, and he got tuned out.
He got tuned out.
And he fought Matthew Saad Muhammad, beat Matthew Saad Muhammad for 11, 13 rounds.
Yeah.
Matthew Saad took him out. And I remember when they interviewed Yaki Lopez, he was fresh as a daisy, and he simply said, I got tired of hitting him. And you know, that, I remember you. You had some family in Jersey, I believe it was.
Yeah.
It was a Sunday. I had my old duster, and we roll out there, and the fight was on, and I never get. Mike, we're looking at the inductions into the Boxing Hall of Fame. You know, Mike Tyson is going in, and one of the questions asked earlier by me, where do I put Mike? Mike's in my top 10. Where do you put Mike Tyson in your countdown of all-time great heavyweights?
Ooh, boy, that's a good question, Doc. I put him within maybe, you got Ali, you got Frazier, you got Foreman.
Joe Louis.
I put him maybe the top five, maybe.
Okay. No, I got, you know what? There was a fight card. I'm not sure this fight card. And it was one that Round One had did. And the main event was Mike Tyson against Joe Frazier. Who was that fight, Mike?
Jeez. I go with Tyson.
Dusty?
I go with Frazier.
And Rooney?
I go with Frazier.
I'll go with a young Tyson.
Okay, Rooney?
What's Tyson? You talking about Dr. Young Tyson?
Rooney, are we going to put an old Tyson in there?
Well, I want to know. You know, you got to take Tyson in stages the same way you take
Rooney, I'm going to ask you this question one more time. And understand that when we ask the question, we're not talking about, you know what, you're a Tyson. I understand you, Rooney. You're a Tyson guy. What are you babbling about? You fell or something? What are you babbling about?
Look, even though I know Mike personally,
Rooney,
I'm an analyst.
Tyson against Joe Frazier at their best. Who wins?
Even though I'll give you the question. I give Mike the Duke in an absolute war.
Next fight on the card was a young, they're all young, George Foreman against Marciano. Who wins that fight, Dusty?
Oh, Foreman.
Against Marciano, the Marciano with Foreman, I will give it to Foreman.
Yeah,
Mike Bellamy?
Foreman. Oh, no doubt.
Rooney?
Foreman to knock out in two rounds.
Foreman early, too big, too strong, too powerful.
Okay, yeah. The other fight was, I'm skipping, because we'll get to the marquee. It was Cito Trinidad against Jermaine Taylor. Dusty, that's a Latin thing.
Who?
Well, Jermaine Taylor against Tito Trinidad.
Well, that's if Tito was a blown-up middleweight. Jermaine Taylor was a full middleweight. I will give it to Jermaine Taylor.
Rooney, who you picking?
Taylor.
And Mike Bellamy.
I'll go with Taylor.
Okay, now we've got, here's a goodie, Tario Gatti against Julio Cesar Chavez. Once again, Dusty, since you're Latin, get you the first shot at Chavez against Gatti.
Since I'm Latin, I got my passport.
Mira. Habla.
But let me tell you something. That's a pick'em. That's a pick'em fight.
Ooh.
That's a pick'em. Wow. It's a hard, it will go down to the wire, and whoever got tired first, because that's a pick'em fight. They're both body punches. They're both. Could stand there. In fact, it would be a phone booth fight, and whoever poops will piss, man. And that's the way I can see it.
Wow. Okay, Rooney, who you got?
Hey, Doc, I agree with Dusty. That's pick'em. And I want to say for the record that my friend Juan Laporte beat him anywhere and didn't get the boot.
Well, I'll never forget that fight. And they asked Chavez after the fight if they had given the decision as close as it was to Juan Laporte, the first Puerto Rican ever to win the featherweight championship of the world, and
right.
By the grace of God, I got a pair of his boxing shoes in the Sports Hall of Fame. And this made me fall in love with a guy right there. He said, I wouldn't have argued. Okay, Mike Bellamy, man up for Emmy, the man who had the greatest boxing show in the history of radio, the first black quarterback to quarterback a high school in the history of Staten Island, and a multi-award winner of radio. Huh?
We were a losing team, though, Doc.
Hey, listen, babe, hey, the first is the first, baby. The first is the first, you know what I mean?
The first is the first.
It just shows your character and class, because there's no team that Mike Bellamy could be on, regardless of the record, that's a loser, baby, because you're number first-class champagne and the champ, baby. So, you know what I mean? Ditto, ditto. Mike, I'm letting you start this one off. It's Sugar Ray Leonard against Sugar Ray Robinson. Who wins that one, baby?
Oh, man, you know, I got to go with the first Sugar.
Okay, Dusty.
I can't go with NutraSweet. I got to go with Sugar.
I like, you ain't going with the NutraSweet?
man.
You know, I never forget when Juanita Ray, Leonard, when she divorced Sugar Ray, they had her on the cover of one of these Daily News magazines, and it said on the front, check it out, Dusty, Sugar Free.
Sugar Free. Oh, my Lord. That's
Sugar Free. You know what I mean? Dusty, who wins that one, Ray Robinson or Ray Leonard?
It's a no-brainer, man. Ray Robinson, man.
You know, it's amazing to think about that, you know, because Ray Charles Leonard goes to Walker Smith Jr., who adapted the name Ray Robinson, which was actually Ray Charles' real name. Ray Charles' name is Ray Charles Robinson, and I just thought it was really fun. Me and Ray talked about that one. I got the tape here simply. We talked about it one time, and I'm Ray was sitting ringside, and I mentioned that to Ray, and he said, yeah, Melvin, you're right, Melvin. And it's amazing that Ray, the original Ray Robinson was Ray Charles, who Ray Leonard was, for all intents and purposes, Ray Leonard was actually asking to use his own. Well, actually, it was the prefix. Okay, Rooney, it's you, baby. You're down to the last one. It's Ray Robinson against Ray Charles.
Hey, you always go with the original, Doc. Always go with the original.
77-0 before he got his first title shot. Was welterweight champion of the world for 5 years. Gave it up only because he won the undisputed middleweight champion of the world, Walker Smith Jr. from Black Bottom, Detroit. Ray.
I tell you what, though, it would have been a good one, Doc. Let's make no mistake. It would have been a good one.
Well, you know what? I tell you something, and we're going to talk about it in a minute. We're going to talk to Brian Taylor in a minute. Art Russ Jr., greatest sportscaster of all time, told me that on the night that Roy Jones Jr. beat Vinny Pazienza in June of 1995, I'll never forget the quote that Art told me. He said, that Roy Jones Jr., he said, would have kicked Ray Robinson's ass.
I don't know about all that either.
Gentlemen, I don't buy that.
That's what I said. That's well. Listen, all I know is this.
Doc. I just gotta say it. Go ahead, keep talking.
Yeah. Well, you know, listen. Art was a personal friend of both guys. Saw them all fight. Yo, there's got to be some creature what he say. But what are we going to do now?
Hey, Doc, Billy Pazzi is was a glorified club fighter to begin with. I mean, you know, let's tell it like it is.
Yeah, but, Ronnie, okay, I don't need that. I don't need you going to the other side of this. If you're not going to interject positivity, don't go there. You know what I mean? Because we're not talking about the caliber of fighter. We're talking about what he was that night. I remember what Art Rush told me, okay? And beware that, Rooney, okay? I don't need that. Art Rush told me the best that Ray Robinson ever was, and you never heard of this guy, Steve Beloit, August 24th, 1949, pencil thin, welterweight, was the best Ray Robinson ever was. That was
what?
The night that everything worked. And Ray said that in his book. He said, I've had many great nights, but the night that it was always there, the night that I was at my best, August 24th, 1949, Yankee Stadium, Steve Beloit. Ali, the best he ever was, okay, it wasn't the second Frazier fight. It wasn't in Zaire. It was in the Houston Astrodome against Cleveland Big Cat Williams. And he named his three great top fights. That was the fight. So this is not about the competition, because when Roy Jones was on, it didn't matter who he fought. Roy Jones beat Pazienza the same way he beat Hopkins. So, I mean, okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk real quick here in the last 15 minutes. Let's talk to Brian Taylor out of Pep Boy Amboy, New Jersey, went to Princeton, became one of the great players in the ABA and one of the catalysts of the New York Knicks. And let's talk to him momentarily as we go into ICOS. Brian Taylor, the Nets history on Sports in Depth, remembering black history and some of the athletes that made it so unique and special.
Team. This is the first time we talked about it before, but I think John's doing probably some of the best, something that I've been saying all along. He said the other day on the air, Brian Taylor is the best guard in the league.
Yeah, does he really believe that?
Yeah,
really. Well, you know, when you see John telling him every time, you know, he comes to the game, I see him here, it's an inspiration for me to get down a little bit harder because it's a compliment. And I strive to be the best now. I look at it from this point. I've got some God-given talents, and there's people out there that don't have just, you know, healthy legs or healthy arms that would give anything to be able just to walk or to run. I'm playing for them as well as for myself and my loved ones.
One more than anything else, Brian. What Sterling said is simply the truth. Thanks a lot for having me.
Thank you.
Brian Taylor, who came out of Home boy in New Jersey, went to Princeton. So many of the underclassmen who joined the ABA. I think I got some George McGinnis. Hold on again.
I didn't notice early in the game they were
George McGinnis.
The center's on you, pulse, and then sojourn it. It really didn't seem like it had too much effect at all. Did it not bother you?
Oh, well, it did at first because I was playing inside ball. You know, I was sitting on a stack down low underneath, and it's very easy to guard a guy, you know, like myself. You just stick me underneath and keep me there. Like in the second half, I came outside, I opened the game up, and that hurt him quite a bit, and they put Julius on me the rest of the way.
Okay, last time you went, everybody was asking about the Knicks. You said it brought in the game some. I find it hard to believe, Mac, where you've been playing.
No, I don't think I really played that good. You know, I played all right. The reason I got a lot of points is because I shot a lot. But, you know, it didn't make any difference, man, when you lose. You know, you can get these 40 points. When you lose, it's still a mean thing. But, you know, we could have won the ball game, and that's a bad thing.
What about New York? Any more thoughts on that? Any more things you want to talk about on that?
Well, right now, you know, like I'm saying, like I say, I'm still, you know, holding the same position that I told you earlier, that I'm just going to have to sit down after the season and evaluate the situation and see what I want to do.
Okay, Mac, you're going to the All-Star game once again, which is no surprise. Congratulations on that, and thanks again for having me.
Thank you.
The great George McGinnis. As you remember, the Knicks did sign him, Dusty, and then they had to go back to the ABA, wind up coming to, because I believe Philadelphia had the draft rights on him. But I remember asking Julius about George McGinnis, and I said, Julius, how good is George? And I remember Julius looking at me seriously, the voice said, he said, Mel, on any given night, he could get 50 points and 50 rebounds. George McGinnis, they said he was a big Elgin Baylor. Just a little stronger. Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake. Better know about Rainbow Soul Channel. Sports Depth of the show. Mike Bellamy from the Bellamy Report. The Boxing Report. Actually, he's the BCAP Sports Director. And Destino Baby Lewis and Rooney. I don't know what the heck happened to Howard Weston. Gentlemen, we've got...
Doc.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Doc, Duke Snyder.
Doc, if I may, I want to make just one quick comment.
Hold on. Duke Snyder what?
Duke Snyder.
What about him?
He was 84. He died.
What, today?
Yeah.
What? Yeah, the other day, Duke, yeah.
You hear that? Duke Snyder was the only man to hit 40 home runs 5 years ago. You know what you're talking? I'm looking at a picture now, right up there, signed by Duke Snyder. My uncle gave me a Duke Snyder model bat. I went home and went to the military. I came back. For some reason, I don't know why my brother threw that bat, but I'm looking at a picture now. I have a picture inside autographed by Duke Snyder, the Duke of Flatbush.
Yep.
5 years in a row, he's the only man to do it. And basically, it's 40 or more home runs, did all here in Brooklyn, and wound up playing with Willie Mays and the Giants. Wow. Thanks a lot, Dusty. Mike, you had a question? Rooney, you had something to say?
Yeah, I had a question.
Hold on.
Jimmy O'Farrell, too, guy, from Starwood City Boxing Gym.
You sent me that information on Jimmy O'Farrell, and I also have something here about there's another trainer had passed away. Jimmy O'Farrell. He was a star boxing guy, right? Am I correct?
Yeah, he was a trainer. He trained a lot of fighters. Matter of fact, he trained Salida, the Jewish fighter.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Right. Starwood City, I think it was.
How old was he?
He was 85.
85. And Selena, and in the email that you sent me, a lot of kudos. Talked about how special and important he was. Now, Troy Jackson. Anybody know Troy Jackson?
Troy Jackson, no.
I got an email about Troy Jackson from David Snowden. I didn't know if he was a boxing thing. But okay, but now I did get that email you sent me about the Mayweather-Pacquiao, Freddie Roach ain't crap stuff. And now we've got to see what's happening. Big C, okay, I'm looking at the time. We got us a good 9 left. Mike,
right.
It's Pacquiao and Sugar Shane Mosley. Your thoughts on that? I mean, Sugar's just in it for the money.
I'm gonna go with Pacquiao.
Mm-hmm. I mean, does Sugar have a chance? I mean, a lot of people think that he has one big fight left, but a lot of people think that big fight was against Margarito. Your thoughts, Mike?
Yeah, I believe so. I think this is just going to be a payday for him. I don't see him winning this at all.
Does he?
Well, you know, like I said, I'm the firm believer, even though it is a big payday for him,
mm-hmm.
and his last good turnout was against Margarito,
mm-hmm.
there's always still, I believe in that, there's still one good fight left. We'll know whether that one good fight left in him after the first round, but I still got to give the veteran a chance.
The first round, Dusty, you'll be able to tell?
Like I always believe, a boxer who stands his ground as a fighter, I mean, as a boxer, the counterpuncher will always be Pacquiao. If you make the mistake,
Dusty, Freddie Roach has alluded to that Mayweather is the best counterpuncher in the game. Is that a big reason too? Maybe the delay that they haven't rushed to this thing.
Well, the delay was, you know, it's on papers all over the world. Is the fact that Mayweather insisted on those drug tests. And Pacquiao says, I'm clean, I'm suing you, I'm not going to take the drug test. But then the second time around, remember, that Pacquiao says, okay, I'll take the drug test, but up until a week before the fight. And they were ready to sign, seal, and deliver, but nothing happened. Remember when I told you Bob Arum gave Mayweather, I said, look, we spoke. Well, you got till midnight to sign the contract, or we go somewhere else. Mayweather comes back and says, hey, nobody gives me an ultimatum. He's playing the diva now. So you know, but unfortunately, I know, and I told you this, and I haven't changed my bit. I know that Floyd could beat Pacquiao. Does he know? Does he have the confidence to beat Pacquiao? I don't know. Does he have the fortitude to go through pain to beat to fight and beat this runaway freight train? I don't think he wants to get hurt, and this is what I feel, unfortunately.
I have a question, too, Doc. When will Mayweather fight again?
Nobody knows.
Okay, Big C, be on the lookout. Howard West is going to be joining us shortly. He'll be here for the remainder of this, and that's he'll be with us for Sports and Death with the lights off and the mic's still on. Doc Staley, Sports Network on the Blake. Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, Sports Network, the show. You heard the archives, Muhammad Ali, Smoking Joe Frazier, Brian Taylor, and the immortal, the late legend.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Doc, also, did you know while you're going to be away in the sunny beaches of Brazil, it's going to be the 40th anniversary of the Ali Frazier fight, right?
Yeah, March 8th, the 40th anniversary. It'll be the 40th?
Yeah.
Wow. I remember 5 years ago was the 35th of that thing, man. You would think that Madison Square Garden would do something. Harold West is going to join us because Harold told the story that the Garden really had no idea how big this was. And 2.5 was a lot of money when you realize it was a $500,000 less than what Ray Robinson made his whole career. They could make that one night. But Ali had made the comment to Joe, and, you know, she showed what Ali was so aware of from a business standpoint of view was so much of the Ray Robinson. And he said, Joe, we got robbed. We should have made more. But it's 40 years, wow. Because I remember that fight. You know, I had some interviews from that fight, too. I've got to find them. And the thing I remember about that fight is everybody that was picking Joe were picking Joe not because he was a better fighter, but because he was a better person. That was those of the Caucasian persuasion.
They did that with Floyd Patterson.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And that type of stuff. One more time, the Knicks rebound from being beaten by the Cleveland Cavaliers and turn around and beat the Miami Heat in Miami. And that makes it 2 out of 3 since the Melo. But, you know, the thing you're looking at, too, here, Rooney, he's been suffering from some injuries. Are we talking about damaged goods, Rooney?
The elbow was sore when he came over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Elbow, bad elbow. And he had to sit down and take a rest today.
And everybody can see it.
Let me say something about that, Doc, because I have a chance to weigh in on that. Number one, Pacquiao's going to be... He's going to beat Mosley. He's going to beat Mayweather. Mm-hmm. However, I do agree with Dusty in the sense that even though he's a damn good fighter, Pacquiao, I've watched the tapes, watched the films, he is really tough, really good. He is by no means unbeatable and invincible.
Well, he's a guy, too. Howard, do you know John Shit?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the guy, Doc Stanley Sports Enough. Here he is, Harold Weston Jr., the first ever and only African-American matchmaker. And Mike Bellamy, you're still with us, too. Okay, good, because we're going to another 4 minutes. We're going to do Sports and Death with the mic on and the lights off. We know what the reason is, because you talked about the Southpaw thing, and here's a guy who's able to survive, but he's able to survive because of the caliber fight. Let's go back here. This guy, Martinez, start with you, Mike Bellamy. Ring Magazine picked him Fighter of the Year. Is it really because he's the Fighter of the Year or because, in your estimation, the knockout of Paul Williams, who's been simply forgotten? Mike?
I think the knockout of Paul Williams, man, that's what did it. I mean, it was the end of the year, too, you know, towards the end of the year. That sealed the deal, basically.
Now,
Paul Williams fought a poor fight. He should have, you know, he fought him too close.
Mm-hmm. He should have fought bigger anyway.
The thing here too now, Mike, with dovetailing this, is Paul Williams ever coming back? I mean, nobody. You know, for 1 minute, Harold concluded last time we were on that Paul Williams was the most dangerous guy in boxing, and yet, you know, it seemed like maybe what Martinez has done has ridden the boxing world of the most feared guy because nobody's talking about Paul Williams anymore, Mike.
No, I mean, after, you know, you get knocked out like that, you know, and don't. The thing is, maybe they should have a rematch also.
Well, you know, the thing was, Paul Williams thinking was, I won the first one, I lost the second one, let's do it again. Now, the Bellingham is saying, hey, we had a close first one that we thought we won, we just knocked you out, you know, why should we fight you again? Your estimation, are they running away from Martinez, or is there some credence to what they're saying?
After you get knocked out like that, though, man, you know, maybe it's time just to move on also.
Well, you got to understand, Doc, like I said to you before, yes, devastating knockout of an undefeated man or one-time loss to Mike Ali.
Gentlemen, We got to calm down. We're getting ready to close out this segment of Sports in Depth. We're going to move from here and going from Sports in Depth with the mic on and lights off. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth with a Blake. Better know what Rainbow Soul Channel Sports in Depth for the show. Dear Lord, we thank you for this gathering of fans. We thank you for blessings bestowed upon us and our loved ones. We thank you for living in America. We ask you to bless our present. We thank you for the little things that we so largely take for granted. And more importantly, dear Lord, let your will be first and foremost in our life. As he's blessed in the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen. Mr. Hardesty, let us go.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Well, to go the distance, we're going to go to distance part two. Doc Stanley, Sports Devil on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports Devil, the show for the next good 15 minutes or so. It's Sports Devil with the mic on and the lights off. And Dusty, you're at the mic.
Okay. Well, you know, and what I was saying to you is that there's a psychological breakdown of within himself, saying, "Geez, I thought I was invincible, and here I get knocked out." I mean, and they've shown his fall over and over and over, like punishing the guy. You know, hit his face hit first, and then his head hit first, and the guy didn't move. So that has a lot of psychological
and definitely
problems.
His eyes
and
was still open
back.
Too. Yeah, I mean, his eyes were still open. She's on the camera with
his
eyes open.
Right, his eyes were still open. I mean, you know, it looked like a body in homicide somewhere. And it's unfortunate now for him to get over that psychological breakdown. A fighter becomes gunshot. Look, I remember in my day, there was the
federal. That far back?
Yeah, of course. Lulu Perez from Brooklyn. Man, a tremendous featherweight. Wah, bah, bah, bah. He fights for a title, gets knocked out. Lulu Perez was not the same after that. Chico Villa, the hot flash from Connecticut. Man, he started getting bounced and TKO'd and cut out and hurt. He was never the same again. These guys lose. Yes, some guys are different dudes like Thunder Gotti who get trashed and slashed three or four times and come back and win another title. But some guys just never recover.
Why, Harold?
I hope that Paul Williams recovers. But he has a lot of psychological drama to go through.
How can he come back out? Will he come back?
Well, I mean, I feel that, you know, under the circumstances that, you know, the knockout was so severe that I don't think he'd be able to come back because of the fact that they're not made like they were back in the day. I mean, it's simple as that. I mean, this generation is very weak. And on the situation of that being so devastating as a knockout that has happened, you know, he's going to be more allergic to the fact that if anybody hits him hard, he's going to cave in and he's not going to try to come back and be, you know, more powerful in resenting the fact that you hit me, then come back and say, "Man, I'm going to jump on your butt." But, you know, you hit me. "Oh, man, don't hit me like that no more." It's going to be a whole different reaction to him than what it was before. You know, Doc, you understand, you have to go through the drama of things, and then if you can take that and then come back later on to see how you respond to it, that's what makes you be a man that you're going to be. That's the reason why in life that we have these drills that we do with certain, like in the military or in the police station, they take you through this drill to see how you're going to react to the process of this to see if you're the best man to fit this role. Because if you can't sustain that, then you're not the man we want. And that's the reason why we go through the drill that we do in society before the act is going to happen. Because we know it's going to happen. I don't care what it is. It's going to happen.
Exactly.
And you just got to understand that this is the thing that we're going to do. It's like we have in our society now, don't hit the kids because that will ruin the kids.
That will take the change
through a process, and that will just control
that. That's 50 years too late.
we're living in the thing where we think sitting in the corner is going to work. It doesn't work.
Time out.
I don't care what nobody says. It does not
work. And you know how, there's so many things, too. I remember Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake, Radio Network, Rainbow Soul, Channel Sports in Depth, the show. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul is the channel. Sports in Depth is the show. Mike Bellamy, Emmy Award nominee and winner, Justino Baby Loves, Harold Meston Weston Jr., Mel Little Coco Smith Jr. Now, you look at the whole scope of things. I remember when everybody was yo sir, yes sir, no sir. I remember when I've seen so many letters with Justino Lewis, Harold Weston, Mike Bellamy. In my day, it was Mr. Harold Weston, Mr. Mike Bellamy, Mrs. And then I remember you looking at all these movie stars who are broadcasting that they're living together, for one, and that their significant other is expecting a baby. I remember when we were coming up, man, you know, you didn't broadcast that, you know, you weren't married and the lady was pregnant, too.
Right.
I mean, in my day, you got a girl pregnant, you married her.
Mm. True.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everybody, yes, sir, no, sir. Man. I mean, it's amazing how many kids today. And Mike Bellamy, we're talking about Mike Bellamy, we're talking about one of the best-dressed guys in sports in America, in the world. But, Mike, it's amazing how many guys can't tie a tie. I remember tying a tie for Manny Ramirez.
Hey, Doc,
Mike, huh?
Doc, standards have dropped, man. I mean, hey,
yeah.
I hate to get on this, I know, but I never thought I'd live the day where I would see men marrying each other. I mean, I never thought I would. I mean, why don't they try to think of me as an alternative lifestyle? Why not have one man and two women? They won't promote that.
And not only that, Mike, you bring up a great point. What Hal's talking about, I mean, you're talking about psychological damage. All right, as that kind of lifestyle, you adopt a kid, and that's good when he's 3, 4, 5. But now what happens when he's 7 or 8 and
mm-hmm.
Larry's mother and father come picking him up and Susan's dad and mother picking him up and, you know, he's got Mike and John picking him up? There's got to be some psychological damage to that.
True. But, I mean, it's accepted today. I mean, that's
yeah, not... You're right.
Hey, Doc, can I say something in regard to Paul Williams?
Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
First of all, and I love Harold and Dusty's opinion on this. Doc, I think for a guy that's 6'2", damn near 6'3", he fights too damn small, Doc. He's always on the inside. He's always leaning in. And I know Harold for Tommy Hearns, and in my opinion, one of the things that made them both and Harold so great was that, hey, man, there was a price to pay to get inside a dude like him. He had that ramrod jab, that big right hand, and he had to either have the skills and the heart of a Harold to be able to withstand that.
Well, you know, and the bottom line, Rooney, with that, too, is, you know, they were talking about him being the next Tommy Hearns. Mike, and how you dovetail on this, evidently he wasn't the next Tommy Hearns, Mike.
That's what he's always on the inside, Doc. That's what I'm trying to say. The guy is always fighting
on the inside. Well, Rooney, you're telling me what Harold Weston always says. I'll never forget in the gym, Gleason came back, go over to the office, because it's like I had an office over there at the garden. I go back to see John and Harold. And John was talking about he went to the gym and he said the same thing you said, Harold. There are guys with diamonds in the rough and they don't know what to do with them. They're teaching guys to throw a jab up in the air. Who throws a jab up in the air? I mean, I remember, and you were there, Mike. You were there, Mike.
Right.
That his corner said that was the fight. Not only did they want to fight, and Mike, I got you with this. That's the fight they would fight again. Am I right, Mike?
Yep, that's what he said.
That's the fight they would fight again. Talk to me, Mike.
And they would get knocked out again, too. He has his height, but he doesn't fight to his height. You know, he could have almost...
And he doesn't. He doesn't. I mean, the guy's damn near 6'3", and he's always on the inside. He's always leaning in. I mean, man, when you have that kind of reach and that kind of height, there should be a price to be paid for having to get on the inside. You should start there.
Maybe psychologically he sees himself as a smaller man.
Well, you know, his trainer always said he'd rather have him down at 147. But how? I think in lieu of both of those fights, it kind of validated that his corner has to go, Harold.
Well, you know, that's what's so sad about our generation today and our people today is that you have people that don't want to listen and they don't want to get educated by the people that do know about history. and they want to always have this outstanding knowledge that they have among our youth today. And
right.
and we're losing the thought of that you can always learn from somebody else. And this knowledge that we're dealing with, this generation we're dealing with today, this all about me. It's not about we. And it's so sad to look at them and seeing them destroying themselves as they processing through this great moment of life that we have built. They think they built it, but we have built before they even got to where they are today. And that's the most saddest point that we're living in our side. And us oldest people is looking at them and saying, you just don't know, because what you're dealing, you're destroying yourself on all aspect of life that we're doing right now. Even with you know Jane and Mary and Dick and John, and it's not like, you know, John and Mary. I mean, you know, it's like all this is all accepted like a high situation, which is not. Is what we're dealing with is destroying. And I mean, as we look at the other factor of other countries and other people, and we're trying to dictate to them, it's the most saddest point that I'm seeing in our lives that we're living. And I really don't care what I say, because I don't care how people take it, but the fact is that we're being wimps and we're dealing in our society today, because nobody respects us. And men are not being men, women are being women, and we're just living in a world of just going as we want to go. And that's the saddest point that we are. We have no dignity about ourselves.
That's true.
Yeah, it's sports. It's sports, baby, but sports is challenging and moving.
He had the ability to almost, Williams almost beat, maybe, if he was taught right, to be like Bob Foster, maybe with his range.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I was just like dumbfounded. This guy, you know, you just struck out on three straight curveballs, and you're going to the plate, and you're still looking fastball. I was just dumbfounded by it. Proved to be the wrong fight. Rooney is saying here's a guy that should be fighting out from the outside. And
Doc,
once again,
the guy's almost 6'3". Doc, he should be having guys at the end of that jab, making them pay with the right hand when they try to get inside.
Absolutely.
The guy fights. The guy sits there.
You know, it reminds me of Hector Camacho. Hector Camacho against the Chavez, Amelda Taylor fight. And I said, you know, if Hector Camacho would have fought Chavez, only two times that Chavez would have saw Camacho is when he announced him and when he raised his hand at the end of the fight.
Right. He fought the real Camacho. You're right.
And the guys kill me when Camacho fought Edwin Rosario, and they were saying,
Rosario,
you know, man, you know, man, Rosario hurt him, man. He won the fight.
That's one round.
You know, if the fight goes four rounds, there is a remote chance that Chapo could have outboxed Hector, because maybe Hector started slow. If the fight, nobody outboxed Hector Camacho. Hector Camacho could have been. Harold told me that you know, what happened to Camacho was something, he touched somebody, and he was psychologically damaged, you know. But Camacho could have been the second greatest Latin fighter of all time.
Doc. He's been the greatest fighter that ever walked the earth.
Greatest fighter?
Right.
Ray Robinson type?
You got to understand, Doc.
Whoa.
He came from a southpaw angle, but he had such movement and understood the language of the sport. He's learning from Sugar Ray Robinson. So he's taking that knowledge from Ray Robinson
and making himself a greater fighter.
Hector
Camacho is the only guy can say this. He beat Ray Leonard and he beat Duran. And he's the only guy can say this. He could have beat them both in their prime.
You don't understand. I'm saying he'd have been the greatest fighter ever because of that. What I'm saying to you, Camacho, I didn't have to worry about. I said, who do you want him to fight? Do you know what that means? I mean, you guys don't understand. Who can he? Who do you want me to fight in the world? And it doesn't make no difference. That's how great you are. And that's what great Camacho could have been if he sustained his ability of not being on drugs, messing with the women and all that.
Yeah.
Believe me, he was superior.
He was
coming from you, Howard.
And I'm telling that's coming from me, man, because I know how good I was.
So, listen, Harold and John Condon. Harold told me the only person going to beat Hector Camacho has to come out. Hector Camacho is in that club of my fighters. Harold was my guy. Okay, I got some gloves signed here to Mel and Lumel. Camacho was my guy. Duran was my guy. Okay, now Mark Medell had a membership. You know what I mean? Breland too, my guy. But I remember, and Harold, you're right, because I had the same faith in Camacho that I had in Duran and Ali. It didn't matter who he fought, he was going to win, and it showed their stupidity, they showed their jealousy and their racism when they sit there and said that they thought Edwin Rosario beat Hector Camacho. So he had to be crazy.
Yeah.
He had to be crazy. You know, and so you know about Hector Camacho, without Hector. Hector Camacho, way past his prime, still with the distance with Oscar De La Hoya, Tito Trinidad, and Julio Cesar Chavez. And he's the only man that can say this. I beat Duran and Ray Leonard.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, let me tell you something. You might laugh at this.
No,
I'm going to say this.
We need a good laugh.
All right. He's the only fighter I can get. I had a couple of wines before the fight and went to the ringside and still had another glass of wine and had to worry about who he's fighting. I mean, that's how sure I was when he was coming up.
Where did
I mean,
you find
it was
him,
like,
Harold? Where
it
did,
was
where
so,
did,
it
Harold.
Was like a guarantee.
Where did you find him, Harold?
Huh?
Where did you find, how did you find Camacho?
They came to me. Camacho was like 1-0, and Billy Giles, and I mean, it was Robert Lee.
Yeah.
Robert Lee was really the trainer who started Camacho from the amateurs. And they brought him to me. They told me about him. I said, I'll put him in a fight. Let me see what he looked like. When I saw him in the first fight, I said, oh, God, I got to sign him. This is my kid.
Really?
I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was no game. It wasn't even no question about the situation.
What was
I
that
mean,
that
I put
saw?
Him in tough, too.
What you saw?
Talent. I mean, charisma. I mean, he had everything that I mean, some things had to be worked over. And me and Robert Lee talked. Robert Lee came to my office every day. And we talked about things that we had to work on with Camacho in the gym, what he had to better himself and everything. And Robert Lee believed in what I was telling him. And he went back to the gym and did things with Camacho. And it came out in the fights. But so he was so superb and so smooth about things that I didn't care. I told CBS, ABC, NBC used to call me up every day. Can we have Camacho on the network? I said, wait a minute. I got to talk to so-and-so. And I said, who y'all have? I said, I didn't care who y'all get, you know, long as the money. Camacho, when he fought for the world championship, he got more money than the champion. Okay?
Yeah.
More money than the champion. That's how great he was.
Yeah, he fought Bazooka Limon and
yes.
Ramirez.
Yes, Zubin Long. I mean, he was so... Everybody knew he was going to win the title. I mean, it wasn't even no question about it.
And you know, I have to tell you, man, I was kind of surprised of the number that he had done on Bazooka. I remember watching that fight. Not because he won, but the ease of, you know, Bazooka had a reputation of being a pretty tough cookie, man. That is just
one of
the
greatest displays
of
boxing. Just one of the greatest displays. And, gentlemen, if we get cut off, it'll be because of the streaming. One of the greatest displays of boxing I ever saw was a masterpiece painted by Camacho when he beat Ramirez. Just a masterpiece. I mean,
right.
every round he came back, he put it's like a Leroy Neiman. He put the orange in the first round, the green in the second, the purple in the third. He put
gentlemen,
the
you didn't know the fact that I could put him. You got to understand, I could put him in the ring with anybody. It didn't make no difference. Anybody. He would have beat.
Mike, you saw Camacho. Your thoughts.
Oh, no doubt. I mean,
I would love to see him fight Ray in his prime, though. That's the only thing.
Ray would not dinner. All Ray had was a jab, right hand, left hook. That's all Ray had. Camacho had everything else beyond that. And that, and I know Ray, okay? Ray was all. That's how Tommy was beating Ray. If Ray did not stop Tommy in the 14th round, he would have got. He would have lost the decision. My point is that Ray was just a real basic fighter. He had fast hands, and that was his glory. But under any other circumstances of being smart and being clever, he did not have that. He was just fast, and that's all that made him good.
Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake, ready to know what Rainbow Show. Send Sports Depth the show. Big C, real quickly, the iTunes breakdown for us.
Absolutely. Visit us at BlakeRadio.com. Follow the link to Rainbow Soul. Before you know it, you're going to see a little icon right next to, a purple icon right next to iTunes. Download this podcast for free.
There you go. And also, incidentally, the month, birthday month, the 5th, Hank Aaron, 6th, Babe Ruth, the 22nd, the Dr. Julius Randle Irving, the 24th. That of Eddie Murray, the 16th, John Patrick McEnroe, who will be having a tennis affair tomorrow at the Garden. He'll be facing Yvonne Lendl, and they'll also have another match with Pete Sampras and Andre Agassi. I think together.
Doc, I got to go.
Okay, Mike, thanks for being with us, man.
Fellas, take care.
Take care.
Take care. Easy, Mike. Thanks for talking.
And congratulations on that Emmy nomination. Mike,
all right, Doc,
Mike, before you go, where can we find you at now? B-Cat? What?
You can find me on B-Cat on, the name? You can Google my name, M-I-C-H-E-A-L, Bellamy, B-E-L-L-A-M-Y, at Brooklyn Independent Television.
And,
pull that up also.
And the show dates?
The name of the show is In the Zone. The show premieres on Saturday. And Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Saturday night at 9.
That's cool.
That's that Big Mike.
Hi, Doc.
Talk to your mother, Bobby.
Right. Thank you.
All right.
My Brazilian buddy there, Mr. Rio, I'm calling from now on. Doc Stanley, Sports Dev on the Blake. Ready to know what Rainbow Soul Channel Sports Dev for the show. We probably got another good 9 minutes left. And we're Sports and Dev with the mic on, lights off, talking everything. I should have tried to get hoops real quick. Okay, well, we've conceded the Pacquiao and Sugar Shane Mosley fight.
Hey, Doc, we're talking about that fight, if I may. You know, if he can get back, I'm sort of like Dusty, and you know, the rest that, you know, he may be probably fighting for, you know, just a payday. But like Dusty said, if he can go back to the Fountain of Youth one last time, this would be a candidate for fight of the year if he can find that one last time.
You know, you always like that the you know, you've always got these fights as you love him for the candidate for Fight of the Year, Rooney. It's just two marquee names. It's pay-per-view. Harold, what's your word? Why did Aram leave HBO and go to Showtime? It wasn't Showtime the avenue that Don King brought into boxing prominence?
Well, because of the fact that it's all about money, okay? And the basic fact is that Showtime was not giving him a great percentage that he can make out of the deal. And Showtime can give you that greatest, situation where you can make more money on the percentage of you getting out of the deal with. Let's put it this way: it's 100,000. It's 100%. Okay, Showtime wants to get. You know, they want to take 70%.
HBO
or HBO, let's say, but Showtime will say, "I'll give you 60%." Okay. So I'll take 40. Showtime is very generous because they just glad they're getting the show on this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, and HBO being who they are, because they know they're making so much money from their monthlies and people paying in and all that, they said, well, you go somewhere else. So, you know, they got a very negative attitude about things. So you go to Showtime and you go with, you know, you're still going to do your same show.
And
you're going to make more money.
Were they possibly calling Aaron's bluff?
Yeah, they were.
Okay.
They were.
And then that's you.
Just like they called Don King bluff.
Yeah,
they
never
thought Don would do what he was going to do.
Yeah,
and
Mike,
Don did it.
Yeah, Don left. And
Showtime is owned by CBS.
Mm-hmm.
CBS is a big conglomerate. I mean, HBO does come out with its own specials and movies and other things, you know, documentaries and things like that.
HBO's a very arrogant type of people.
Yeah, conglomerate. Yeah, well, they feel that if I were the highway, they feel they're number one.
They think they own the world. They think they own the world. That's the whole thing with them.
They, a lot of ways, they can be very asinine and classless. You saying, Harold?
Yeah, I mean, HBO is who HBO is. I mean, you know, like they, you know, they said like, we getting $100 million a month. You know, what do we care?
Right, right. You know, and when they played the games that Bob Arum was complaining about, that he got dates from HBO, he confirmed them and everything, and all of a sudden they're telling Bob Arum, no, you don't have that date. Golden Boy has it.
Right.
And they just viciously take it away from him. So Bob Arum says, wait a minute, you know, what is this? And then I told you, Doc, none of the HBO people went to some funeral.
That was just a Big C behind the curtain. Some thoughts. You got any thoughts to Big C?
Wow, no, I just never knew it was like that.
Yeah.
I had no idea that HBO was like that.
Yeah, it's a conglomerate that takes no prisoners, and that's exactly what it is. And they can do what they, because like I've seen HBO, how worldwide they have so many different specials other than boxing.
They got HBO and Latino.
Right. And it's funny that you say that. We talked about the multiple crowns, you know. Now they have, I've been seeing them for the last 3 or 4 years, the WBO Inter-American Latino Junior Middleweight Champ. You know, and the guy, and I'm saying, geez, are they going to then turn around and create the interim Irish champ around the world, or the Japanese, or the
champ?
They come up with these crowns. Yeah, they come up with these gimmicks, and this is what keeps everybody looking and going into HBO.
There are still people who prestigiously wise, you know, HBO is the name.
Right.
Harold, who was better, Ali or Ray Robinson?
That's a toss-up. That really is.
I know you're weighing it because we're talking about the skills of Ray Robinson, but Ali fought anybody and everybody where you said toss-up, Ray didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's a toss-up because of the fact that Ray had a style that was Ali followed off. Okay?
Really? Really?
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, at the time he was Cassius Clay, but let's say Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali followed Ray Robinson.
Basically,
you know, that's what I'm saying. It's a toss up because that was his idol, and so I can't give that judgment who was the best because they both had that same unique style and same situation. And how they wanted to fight people and how they were going to fight them, how they were going to be. What they had that was, you can't take away from them, they both had good hand speed, and both of them had good knockout power. So how are you going to judge who was the best? No, you can't do that. You can't even take that away.
How good was Willie Pep?
Willie was a fundamental good fighter. I mean, he can't be all great because Sandy Sadler beat him 4 out of 5.
That's my point. Everybody
and
talks
then,
about how
and
Willie
on top
Pep
of that, the one that they give to him, I mean, Sandy beat the shit out of him. They just say, well, since you went decision, we're going to give it to you. You're going to give you the fight.
But
after he left the fight, both eyes was like closed anyway.
How come nobody ever gives Sandy Sadler any kudos? I mean, he beat this guy should have been so outstanding.
Well, because you're dealing in a racial type of situation
at the time.
I mean, we're dealing in those 50 years, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we're dealing in those times that, you know, they didn't want to recognize us as anything.
Exactly.
And so
Doc, whatever happened to one of the most exciting fighters for my money that I had ever seen? And no one ever mentioned his name, even in passing. And I thought the dude was great, which is Matthew Saad Muhammad.
I mean, Matthew was all right, but he wasn't great.
Well, he was fighting, Hal.
He was tough. Right, Hal. I should say he had great resilience.
Right, he was tough, but he wasn't great.
Hal, they didn't have to fight. Who would have won a fight between Matthew Said Muhammad and Eddie Mustafa Muhammad?
Oh, that was a toss-up.
Yeah.
Because Eddie had more, had good boxing skill, but Matthew had more determination. Eddie Mustafa didn't have that determination. He wasn't going to go to that bridge and say, I'm going to die. Mm. Matthew Starr was going to go to that bridge and say, I'm going to die. And that's the big difference between the two.
Is that why I thought he should have won this fight and Eddie didn't? Is that why he didn't beat Michael Spinks?
That's the whole reason.
Because exactly.
Eddie had more skill than Michael Spinks, believe me.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, he had better skill than Michael Spinks. He should have knocked Michael Spinks out if he had Matthew's heart.
Determination.
And said, I'm just going to kill your ass.
Yeah, right.
And I thought that he would knock out Michael. And like you said, to our chagrin, he didn't really show for that.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie, I've been knowing Eddie since I was like 17 years old. I fought Eddie in the amateurs.
And
I beat him in the Golden Gloves. But my point was, when you know, Eddie was boxing the shit out of me because he was so tall for a welterweight. Mm. And I just said in the third round, we like even up. And I said in the third round, I said, fuck this. And I just jumped on his little ass in the third round. And he just folded up. And I just kept wild on his ass and I won the decision. But and then as I saw Eddie go through the pros, he was the same way. I bet it like $5,000 on Eddie. He fought Eugene Hart out of Philadelphia, who was knocking out everybody, okay? I knew Eddie can beat him. All right. Eddie goes in the fight, he loses the first 8 rounds. Do you hear me? The first 8 rounds. Scared to death. Didn't throw no punches. And then finally in the 9th round, he said, let me just see if I can hit this guy. And he knocked Eugene Hart out.
$5,000 happy Harold Weston.
And I said I would never bet on him again.
Harold, you took your money and ran?
Oh, did I run? I said, where's the exit at?
Doc Stanley, Sports to Death on the Blink. Rainbow Soul Chill, Sports to Death of the show. It is a Sunday. Moving into a Monday, we will be back tomorrow, of course, to close out our Black History Month, and we'll be giving you something live. We'll be working with Big C, gentlemen. I'll be heading to Brazil this weekend. We'll be doing a live show from there, so Big C will be contacting everybody. I remember he was Eddie the Flame. I have a picture, me and John Condon, the old legendary fell for him. He fought some guy that he could hit. He hit a guy so hard, how they lifted the guy up off the ground.
Yeah, I mean, Eddie could punch. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Eddie could punch at, we was like 16 years old. Eddie could punch back then. I said if anybody hit harder than Eddie Mustafa, I would not fight again. I mean, this dude can punch. And we was at 16.
Mm. Yeah.
All right? I mean, he made tears come to my eyes when he hit me. I mean, Eddie could punch. Eddie always can punch. But he had no confidence in himself to be a puncher.
Right.
And that was a whole downfall. I mean, he was a good fighter. Eddie had it all. He had good boxing skills. He was a good student. He could punch. But what he didn't have, confidence.
You know what? It's amazing because he turned it off. When he fought Marvin Johnson, I remember that fight, he gave Marvin Johnson all the concessions. Fought Marvin Johnson in his hometown, gave him
that
the money.
That was the best of Eddie Mustafa.
That's right. Eddie said, I gave him everything he wanted, all I wanted, and he won the title. That's the fight that won him title.
Marvin Johnson was the best. That when y'all saw that, Marvin, if you go back and look at that film, that was the Eddie Mustafa Muhammad. That was the best. You will never see that again.
That was the best of Eddie Mustafa.
He never performed again after that fight.
That's right. Yeah, remember he went down,
if I remember correctly, Howard and Dusty, he was a pretty heavy hitter.
If Eddie Mustafa had to channel it the way Harold said, Eddie Mustafa would have been the first light heavyweight ever to win heavyweight champion of the world, not Michael Spinks.
Michael Spinks would have never been light heavyweight champion, believe me.
Yeah.
I mean, if Eddie Mustafa would have been Eddie Mustafa like he fought Marvin Johnson, Michael Spinks would never have been champion of the world.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Hey, Al, just in closing, let me ask you and Dustin Doctors.
Well,
you
hey, Rooney, what do you mean just in closing? This ain't your show, Rooney. What do you mean just in closing?
Hi, I'm your host. No, I'm just. Hey, Doc, how tough was Dwight Muhammad Kawi?
Huh?
How tough was Dwight Muhammad Kawi, Dwight Braxton?
What about Braxton?
How tough was he?
How tough was
Kwali? Kwali was like me. He was just a determined. He was a short guy. He was just, you know, he was gonna do all he had to do. Cause you gotta understand, he came from that rough type of neighborhood. He was short. I mean, nobody gave him a shot of doing anything, and he had to do everything off his ability and his heart to achieve what he had to do.
Harold, do you remember that he came out of prison?
Yeah.
He was a prison fighter.
I know.
Who is the guy?
Kwali was in prison?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. He beat the guy who was the prison champ.
Dan Scott, right.
Dan Scott. And Dennis Scott was fighting like every other week, beating every other dude.
Right.
Until Muhammad Kwali, because he couldn't get out on parole to fight for a title, the other guy.
For the wrong opinion.
Right.
And then Muhammad Kwali came in and beat Scott. And that was the end of Scott. And
right.
Then, but Kwali was a bad dude. I mean,
he was good.
Yeah. Short, stocky dude. But
he gave you all what he was going to give. And, exactly. I mean, you had to be able to dig down deep to mess with him.
Yeah, exactly. And he destroyed a lot of guys
but
until
he
ran into Holyfield,
man.
Well, Doc, what's that for the break? Radio Network Rainbow Soul. See on Sports Network. The show is about to close. That Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio. This is Sports Network with the mic on, lights off. Harold Weston Jr., first and only African American matchmaker at Madison Square Garden, and the only MSG welterweight champion, Little Mel Coco Mel Smith Jr., former WWF star. Daniel Baby Lewis, former Golden Glove winner, and SLF. Dusty, are you still going to do the Latin Odyssey, or is that done?
No, it's not done. I'm on a hiatus, I tell you. I'm not doing anything, and the producer keeps calling me. I said, I'm not moving from here until I'm ready to go.
Hey, you know what? Tell him to call your manager. Tell him to call me, baby. I got this.
Tell him I want a new contract.
Listen, hey, and a car. Hey, you got to be driven around, baby.
That's right. I need a chauffeur-driven limousine, man.
Don't worry about this. I got that. Lil Mel, you free, baby? Rooney?
We good, Doc. We ready to rock and roll, Doc.
We start our own company, put Harold in charge. But Doc Stanley Sports, that big seat behind the curtain there. One more time on the iTunes piece for us, please.
Absolutely. Visit us on BlakeRadio.com. Follow the link to Rainbow Soul. It'll take you to a little purple icon on a new page. Hit that icon, and you'll download us for free over iTunes.
Yeah, can we hit? Will that Larry Harris piece come on, or we're out of that now?
No, we still have it.
We still have it. Okay, gentlemen, what about the dear Lord and then we do Larry and we'll say good night.
Okay,
let's do it.
Good night.
Good night, gentlemen.
Don't move, gentlemen.
Take care.
Good night.
Nice talking.
We thank you for
good night. A pleasure.
Another day. We ask you to bless our panel, our friends. All honor and praise to you. And just a simple dear Lord. Thank you for the little things we so largely take for granted. Thank you for blessings unseen, unmerited, unknown. A simple thank you to the one and only true God. In Jesus' name, the Lord, amen. And with that, hold on. Got a couple of minutes here. We'll let that dear Lord keep playing a little bit as we listen to some jazz in the background, as we salute Black History Month and Coltrane discovered by my... I found Harold. You still there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, Coltrane died at age 40, man.
Huh?
Coltrane died at age 40. You know that, Dusty?
Yeah,
I never knew that.
The man killed himself, man. He was the greatest axe man in the music, man. But
that is 40.
What was that story about Miles kept finding him in the gutter? They had a gig. He would find him in some hotel, blown out of his mind.
That's when Miles kicked him out of the band for that time with Lester Herwin. But what happened, that's that time where he was with Monk. But he got himself together and came back to Miles. So all those collaborations you hear with him and Monk was that time that Miles had kicked him out of the band, told him to get himself together. But, you know, Miles discovered him, and Art Tatum died at 46.
Yeah, this guy literally killed himself. Coltrane, he used to gig with another druggie, Dexter Gordon. They went to Europe and they piled around all over Europe, and then he came back to the United States, and Dexter had that that big movie that came out. Oh God, I forgot what it was, but that was the remake.
I remember, the remake of
Dexter Gordon. But these guys,
Paris Blues, was it? Was it Paris Blues?
Yeah.
Was it Paris Blues?
No, it wasn't Paris Blues. It was another name of the title. And all those guys, because of the drugs, went to Europe. Chet Baker, he blew his brains out. You know the trumpet player? He blew his brains out with drugs, man. And it was free and legal over there.
Well, the thing about Chet Baker did one of the greatest My Funny Valentine's. We got Larry Rusty, Big C. Why don't you do Larry for us right now? Gentlemen, nobody say a word. Let's Larry say goodnight, then we'll say goodnight together after that. Big C, Larry Hardesty, please.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Okay. We're gone. Okay, Dusty, tell everybody good night. Gentlemen, we'll get together
night,
in
brothers,
the next couple of days.
We'll get together again. Thanks. Take care. God bless.
Rooney.
Good night to the panel and the awesome audience. Good night, folks.
Harold.
Thank you.
All the best and God bless.
Okay, all of us. God bless.
Behind the curtain, Big C.
Absolutely. God bless and have a good night, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
Leave you with three thoughts. Live your life today and to stand before God tomorrow. Life's most persistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Doc Stanley, trust in God.